And so, Friday evening, final half hour and time for our album reviews. Three tonight. All American, kind of, but you do have to look overlook Tame Impala's Australian origins, although he's based, Kevin Parker, in LA these days. The other two are Green Day and Justin Bieber. And let's start with Green Day. Been around since 1987, 13th album, which I'm simply going to refer to as Father of All MFs. I think we all know what MFs is, so let's refer to it actually as Father of All. 10 tracks, 26 minutes, short, sharp shock of punk. I should say, by the way, Nadine O'Regan and Cathal Fung have been listening to our three albums for us. That's what it is, though, Nadine, isn't it? Short, sharp shock of punk.
Yeah, 10 songs, 26 minutes. They're not messing. Mm. And no political themes this time around. Billy Joe Armstrong said that he didn't want to waste an album on Donald Trump. So
Because he had previously given George Bush,
An American Idiot. Yeah. And, you know, he's become very well known for really getting a dig in there to various presidents over the course of his albums, their albums. But it's really refreshing to just see them go back to their roots and go back to everyone's roots, actually, with songs that actually make you think of just classic jams from the 1950s, really stripped back rock and roll.
All right, let's have a listen to a track called Stab You in the Heart.
Yeah.
I wonder, did they hear what we just did with Wannabe Starting Something and Soul Makuza? Because Wanna Stab You in the Heart, it has exactly the same number of syllables as Hippie Hippie Shake.
Absolutely.
And it sounds terribly like it, Cathal.
It does, absolutely. The first time I listened to the album, that one just jumped out. I was like, well, okay, this is a complete rip-off. But hey, it's they've done it well.
But is this classic in terms of what they are? Are they usually a little bit more punky of that? Because there's a sort of a retro feel in there, isn't there?
There is. Funny enough, I think a couple of years ago, a couple of Billy Joe and I think Mike from the band decided they were going to have a side project, a covers band.
Yeah.
And I think the covers band has sort of seeped into what they're doing at the moment.
Original music. Yeah. And large inverted commas around original.
Absolutely. Layer. Yeah, no, it is. It's certainly different to what they've been doing over the last 15, 20 years. But very much, as Nadine was saying, sort of hint back to what they were at in the mid-90s.
Yeah. Right.
The early Green Day.
There's a part of you that, like, I don't know if you remember Beavis and Butthead, but like when that comes on, everyone immediately just starts going out tune and not in the head in time.
Not a headbanging going on in here, it has to be said. The producer here, Nadine, is Butch Walker. Walker, who's worked with the likes of Taylor Swift. What does he bring into the mix here, do you think?
Oh my God, I love the production on this album. I mean, it's not for nothing that Green Day are pretty much the most successful sort of modern punk band of their era in the States and beyond. There's something really satisfying about the production. You know, they do all those little tricks where if you're listening on headphones, they'll have like a drum beat go in one ear and then stop and then go into the right ear and then into the left ear. Mm. And as a listener, look, it's old hat to some extent, but tremendously good fun. And the vocals are again really, really satisfying. Billy Joe Armstrong sounds incredibly sincere but really biting. They all sound like they're having really good fun. And it's something about this, it's like a souped up version of what you know, you might have heard. I mean, I actually found myself thinking of bands like The Clash and almost thinking like if you imagined more production, more souped up, more gloss, and put it into that really tight format. You know, that's what Green Day are going for.
Yeah, but can we call it punk, or is it not a bit more rock and roll, straightforward, old style rock and roll?
If you're calling it punk, you'd have to put pop in there as well. So yeah, it's not a hardcore punk fan.
It's not angry enough in some ways to be.
No, and there's no great message or anything. It is fun. I think that is the word. It's fun. And I think hardcore punk fans probably gave up on Green Day in the early 90s.
Right.
But in saying that, it's certainly, in terms of the format, short, catchy songs.
Yeah, I think I'm going to play a bit of Junkies on a High, which has a punky title. But
yeah, that's actually one of the slower songs on it. And it for some reason with me, the songs I always go back to with Green Day, even though I love the fun, upbeat ones, tend to be the slower numbers. And this one just caught me again. Very, very well produced. And it makes a virtue of, again, Billy Joe Armstrong's vocals. You know, he really can bring that more sort of somber note into proceedings.
And, you know, at 3 minutes and 5 seconds, it's by far the longest song on the album. Let's have a listen. Junkies on a High, you could almost say the most ruminative track on the Green Day album, rather, Nadine O'Regan. So what are you saying overall? That's quite grungy, that one, but what are you saying overall here in terms of what they've done for you on
overall,
this album?
Overall, it's not their deepest album, but it leaves you with a smile on your face. I really enjoyed it. It perks you up if you're flying down a motorway, obviously under the speed limit. Yes. This is one to listen to.
All right. Oh, stars?
I would go for actually 4 stars.
4 from Nadine. What are you saying, Cahill?
I would say fun, but I think it's going to be, I'd forget about it very quickly, so I'm going to say 2.5. Right. But really fun. It is fun.
It won't be in your car for the trips down the motorway, or it'll be somewhere in the back seat where you can't reach
it.
No,
I'm usually walking, so.
Okay, fair enough. Right, let us move on then to album number 2, Tame Impala. When we talk about Tame Impala, the album here is called The Slow Rush. We're essentially talking about Kevin Parker, Nadine?
Yeah, an Australian who started Tame Impala back in 2007, delivered the first album in 2010, and consistently through then has become kind of an unlikely superstar. Rihanna has covered him, Arctic Monkeys have covered him. He has a very woozy, kind of psychedelic approach to rock, and there are dance beats threaded throughout the album, as he really has in all his albums. And there's something very addictive and surrealist almost about it.
Right, let's have a listen to a track called Breathe Deeper.
I can't believe me. I can't feel it, so I fall and where I'm.
And that's Breathe Deeper from Tame Impala's rather new album, which is called The Slow Rush. In terms of that Cathal Fudge, it is all Keith Parker. He's the driving force. Kevin Parker. He's the driving force. He's the writer. He's doing all the work here.
He does everything. Yeah, as a live band, they go out. There's, you know, five members in the band, but everything in terms of the album, it's just one guy. He is completely. He's a complete studio geek, I suppose, and an absolute obsessive over music. And that's the thing you're always listening for in Tame Impala. He's not the greatest singer. He's probably not the greatest songwriter of all time, but my God, his albums always just sound
incredible. The last album was Currents in 2015. It was a kind of breakup type of album, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, absolutely.
What are we talking about in general? Is there a theme in The Slow Rush?
Time is the recurring theme.
A little bit deeper then. There's a little bit of depth coming in here.
Absolutely. I think this, from the few listens that I've had this week, it definitely feels a much more personal album. From anything he's released before. I'd say that's got to do with the fact he's got much more confidence. He always seems like a fairly shy, reclusive type of character. And I think the last album, Currents, being such a big album, he spent the last few years in the studio working with the likes of Mark Ronson, Kanye West and all that. I think suddenly he realises, okay, I'm pretty good at this.
Right, so
and he's got a confidence, and I think that's coming through in the songwriting.
And in fact, what Cathal was saying, you bear this out, I think, Nadine, because you interviewed him, didn't you?
I did.
And he'll tell you, whatever I'm saying is in my music type
thing. Yeah, it was excruciating.
Not a fella for live on radio.
No, it was at a festival and live radio, and it wasn't one of the easier experiences that I've ever had, let's just say. But I did like him. You know, like not every musician it wants to do the PR game. Do you know what I mean? And you could really see that he was trying. It wasn't his medium to talk that way. And actually, that's really reflected in, if most people think about Tame Impala, even if they really like the band and have the albums, they don't really know what he looks like, or they don't really think about him as a person. He's not starry, but he did actually get married recently. And I think there's something about the album that, like, I do feel like he's more comfortable with himself.
Right.
He does also talk about his dad a little on the album, where he sings a little about his dad, and some of the lyrics there are actually quite sad. There's a line where he says, "You decided to take all your sorries to the grave." This is him talking about after his dad has passed, and he said, "I want to tell you about the time I was in Abbey Road, or the time I had Mick Jagger on the phone."
Yeah.
And you just think he wants his dad to be proud of him.
I think that's posthumous forgiveness, isn't it? You had mentioned that song as well.
Yeah. For me, that's the complete standout track.
What makes it so good?
First off, the lyric content and the sentiment, it is deep for, you know, especially for a Tame Impala album. And it's also the way it's kind of like two tracks in one.
Yeah.
The first half is very much looking back, and it's sort of it feels like there's a bit of rage in the first half, and then the second half, it's much more uplifting in terms of, well, okay, I found a bit of peace.
Yeah, there's a kind of a heartfelt nature to that, Nadine, posthumous forgiveness from Pale Impama and their new album, The Slow Rush.
It's just, there's something very beautiful about quite a few of the tracks. I mean, one criticism I do have, to be honest, is that it gets a little, maybe a little tiny bit samey over the course of the album. So you kind of wish for a few more high points where he got you know, Don't Bore Us to Get to the Chorus a little quicker occasionally.
Yeah, and the two songs that we had up there tonight, actually, both of them 6 minutes long.
Yeah.
Or slightly over six
and
minutes.
And the closing track is over 7 minutes,
yeah.
You know, so think about
that. You need to
that.
Earn that.
You do need to earn that. But having said that, like, this is an album that you could put on at a party at 2 a.m. and it would work. You could put it on a Sunday and it would work. There's something, it floats over you. It's very inviting. It's a little bit cool. He's not trying too hard. You know, there's something about when we're talking about Green Day, you know, if Green Day pushed their production a bit harder, they'd go Alvin and the Chipmunks on it, you know. Whereas Tame Impala, that's never going to happen.
No, he's there's a lot more laid back nature to
it
than that.
Okay, let's feel the LA sunshine on your back when you're listening to it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so let's get your final roundup on Stars first this time, Cahill.
I really, really like this album. So I'm going 4 out of 5. I think it might even push up further after. I don't want to go too far, but yeah, I'll give it a strong 4 out of 5.
It's at a very strong 4, yeah, but I feel you tipping towards 4.5 and maybe even 5 before long. 4.5, certainly. What are you saying,
Nadine?
I'm
saying 3.5 because I think it's beautiful and I think I will listen to it a lot, but I wish it had just one or two more high points.
Yeah, and that's also for him leaving you working very hard on stage when you interviewed him.
Exactly.
But you've left go of that now. How long ago was it?
That was, you know, 9 years.
Okay, let's move on. He's back. Justin Bieber with a new album called Changes after a break of 5 years. Changes there have been. He tackled his drinking and drug taking and he has taken a wife, Hayley Baldwin. Let's listen to the opening and title track. Where are we? Can I see? Oh, there it is. There we go.
Some days I move like water. Some days I burn like fire. Some days I wanna push further. Some days I wanna do nothing. I just wanna be the best of me. Even though sometimes we might disagree. So that I can be the best for you. That's all I wanna do. I'm going through changes. I'm going through changes. Though I'm going through changes, don't mean that I'll change. Sometimes I'll go to sleep early. Sometimes I can't close my eyes. Sometimes I smile like it's all good. Even though there's pain underneath it, I just wanna be the best of me. Even though sometimes I forget to breathe, so that I can be the best for you. That's all I wanna do. I'll be going through changes.
Just him and his guitar.
Yeah, lovely. Yeah.
Changes. Now, first of all, declaration of interest here, Nadine O'Regan.
Okay, I have this compartment in my car, my old car actually, and I used to actually just keep a copy of Justin Bieber's Purpose in there because it's a beautifully produced album. And look, I love good pop production, and sometimes if I was on a long car journey I would slip on the Bieber, but it's not something that I generally want to write home about. But look, at the end of the day, I'm not a believer in guilty pleasures either. I think you should declare it.
Just enjoy it.
I think he has a beautiful voice. I think there's so much money gone into the production. And, you know, if you take a track like Where Are You Now, like that has over 1 billion plays on Spotify and with good reason.
Yeah.
He also has great collaborators, like Skrillex on the last album. And this album, he's got like Travis Scott. He has Post Malone, who's fantastic. You know, there are a lot of good people here.
And I was searching for my notes because when I was listening to this album, I said, I thought, this is quite subdued, was the word I had written down. And that's kind of what I get. If this is he's been through a lot, you know, let's face it. Okay, he gets bad press all the time. And he's given himself lots of the bad press, let's be honest too. But, you know, you deal with that level of adulation and fame in your teens and early 20s and see how you get on.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I really like that track, the title track. There's a run of tracks at songs at the end, which I thought was the strongest part of the album, because that felt like he was really dealing with what's happened over the last 5 years or so, I suppose 10 years. Whereas I've kind of found the first half of the album, he's got married, as you mentioned at the top, and he's totally in love. But I found that bit all a little bit flat. And
are you saying that you can't write white? Is that, you know, writing about happy times and a nice marriage kind of doesn't make for good songs?
Well, no, I definitely can, but I didn't really feel there was a whole lot of joy in those songs. Just the way they were produced, it all felt just a little bit.
Well, to be fair, if you the lyrics, man, it's not high art or anything. But you know, if you listen to the lyrics and changes, it's quite confessional and it's kind of laying himself out there.
There's a lot of
to
subtlety.
Be batted down. Mm.
There's a lot of subtlety in the record, and actually, there's one of the tracks. I think it's called Habitual or something along those lines, where he's just talking about finding love in the everyday and those kind of elements. It actually. He could be 55 singing about some of those themes, not 25, because he sounds like somebody who's been scorched by the media, by fame. This is a guy who bailed on his own tour, who has been in the headlines constantly and essentially shut down. I think he has something like, now it's probably gone up since I last checked, but like 127 million followers on Instagram. You know, this is the kind of fame where anything he ever does
is magnified,
is cataloged magnified. So there's a sense of somebody who's been burned, come through a fire, and has gone back to, I think, is his kind of core groove, which is a very subtle R&B pop sound. And if actually one of the interesting things about this record and to some extent his previous record is if you took the vocals off and you just listened to the music, there wouldn't be very much there at all. He's completely carrying it based on his vocal, which he does have an extraordinary vocal. If you took a lesser singer, an average singer, and asked them to sing some of these pop lines, they would make nothing of these tracks because it's all gravitating around his vocal.
And Nadine also mentioned some of the collaborators. Is that helping in this album as
well? Absolutely. That would have been, for me, the standout tracks is when he is collaborating with people. Because there was one, Forever, which duet with the rapper Post Malone, I thought was a real standout. Because again, because the first bit of the album just felt just a little bit flat, and then in the middle bit there is those collaborations that I just think brought the album a little bit more.
Well, let's listen to a little bit of Forever and see what you're talking about.
Could you be here with me forever, ever, ever? Would you be here with me forever, ever, ever? Waking up all alone ain't better, better. Every time I go the wrong way, you turn me back around. Turn me back like, whoa, 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 whoa. Forever, ever, ever, ever. Do you wanna look at me forever, ever, ever? Yeah, do you see us in Vegas pushing a Monte Carlo? Bet that money on baby, bet she don't leave me, oh no. See them he wears in the desert, look like a lake in the sand. Would you watch the sun burn out with me forever, ever, ever, ever? You still intimidate me, keep me up on my toes now. Better man what you made me, made me aware of what I was missing. Been missing the way you give me envision, babe. Never thought I'd settle down, reckon I lied to myself. I was busy focusing on being by myself. Set my feelings to the side, they all got dusty on a shelf. You wiped them down when I had nothing left. Could you be here with me forever, ever, ever? Would you be here with me forever, ever, ever? Waking up all alone ain't better, better, better. Every time I go the wrong way, you turn me back around. Turn me back like, whoa, 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 whoa.
And that's Forever from Justin Bieber's new album, which is called Changes. Nadine O'Regan and Cathal Fonge are two reviewers on this Friday evening. We were saying as we were listening to that, Cathal, that is a perfect example. Like, if you didn't have his voice and his kind of ability to deal with what could be termed pop cliches, you'd be in big trouble.
Absolutely. No, there's no denying his voice is incredible. He's a superstar, and he has the talent to back it up. I did find there was a bit too much auto-tuning going on the album.
Yeah,
which
and
sort of annoyed me a bit.
It's a common kind of technique even for singers who are really talented, just because I think when Kanye brought it in on 808s and Heartbreak years ago, I mean, in fairness, he was after Cher with the Do You Believe in Life After Love, in fairness.
Yeah.
But I think it became a bit of a hip-hop tool, and it isn't even about somebody's vocal, it's actually about that sound being in at the moment. But I agree with you, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I just thought, especially seeing it's supposed to be the grown-up album and it's really personal, Why?
Does it overstay its welcome? It's 17 tracks. Does it count? Could we have done with a few less
songs? And I felt the same way in the last record as well. I mean, again, there aren't quite enough high points to justify that length. And to some extent, he might be guilty of doing that thing that a lot of artists are doing where they put enormous amounts of tracks on their albums now. The better to keep people listening on Spotify, the better to clock up the listens, the better to make the rewards even greater.
Yeah, so he's really given us 17 songs that don't come together into a coherent album because he's interested in single hits on Spotify.
Every big artist these days has a tendency towards that idea, the long album. You know, more hits on Spotify, more rewards.
Yeah. All right. Let's have your stars out of five this time and put your secret compartment of your car to one side and be objective, please, Nadine O'Regan.
Do you know, I don't know, would this make the secret compartment? I liked it. I think it's going to grow on me. I think it's subtle, possibly too subtle at times, a little bit too minimalist. 3.5 stars.
3.5 from you. And Cathal Funch?
Yeah, I just didn't really like it that much. I just found it all a little bit flat and a bit samey and... yeah, I'm going to say 2.5. I did say 2 earlier, but I listened to it earlier, later, walking in here earlier, and I thought, there's a few tracks that...
It is a grower. So
I'd say 2.5.
2.5. All right, that's where you're going. Still a little bit on the parsimonious side, but that's allowed to...
Staying true to his indie roots is what he's doing.
Yeah.
Cathal Funch and Nadine O'Regan there talking to us about Justin Bieber's Changes, Tame Impala's The Slow Rush, and Green Day's Father of All Rock.